Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, a word about keeping America free. Matthew 5, 48, Jesus said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the United States of America. Just thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you've given this nation all these years. Pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, what we need to do to keep America the land of the free. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray to open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Early morning, last August the 9th, looters in Chicago ransacked a bunch of high-end stores along the Magnificent Mile, even using U-Hauls to carry away everything from clothes to shoes to phones and everything in between. So many people and so much chaos, Chicago police were overwhelmed, and a lot of those stores have already decided that they are leaving Chicago for good. But even worse, later on that afternoon, the Black Lives Matter organizer in Chicago, a woman named Ariel Atkins, said this about all the looting.
Somebody decides to loot a Gucci or a Macy's or a Nike because that makes sure that that person eats. That makes sure that that person has clothes. That's reparations. That is reparations. Anything they want to take, take it, because these businesses have insurance. They're going to get their money back. My people aren't getting anything.
They can take anything they want because that's reparations. No. Those people didn't do that to get even with slavery. They did that because they wanted to steal a bunch of stuff they couldn't afford and because they don't have any respect for the rule of law. Now, America is the land of the free, but where in the world do we get this idea that freedom means free for the taken? People, what in the world is wrong with our country? And what in the world do we need to do to correct it? Well, it all starts by understanding what freedom is really all about and what we need to do to hang on to it. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And we know that's not going to happen until Jesus comes back. And the exact same principle applies to our country. We know that America is never going to be perfect, but we Americans constantly need to be striving for that standard of perfection and aspiring to a standard of perfection when it comes to freedom for all of our citizens. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, tells us three things that we need to do to keep America the land of the free like God intended it to be. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to keep America the land of the free, we need to understand what freedom is really all about. Because sadly enough today, most people don't. So regardless of me and Bobby McGee, freedom is not just another word for nothing left to lose. Because freedom is a precious gift from God. But freedom always comes within limits. Because way back in the Garden of Eden, even before the fall, God told Adam and Eve, "You are free to eat from any tree around this place except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." So freedom is not the freedom to do whatever you want to do. Real freedom is the freedom to do whatever it is that God wants you to do without some Weisenheimer or stuffed shirt or government keeping you from doing it. Now, our rights and freedoms come from God because that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "All people are equal because they are created in the image of God." Now, because God likes variety, people are different when it comes to races, skin color, shape, size, Cubs and Sox, plain and peanut, original and extra crispy. So people are not equal in characteristics. People are equal in value because they're all created in God's image. Which also means people are like God because they have creativity and thoughts and reason and gifts and talents and abilities. So they should have the opportunity or the right to put those things to use and benefit from them. And because God plays no favorites, Romans chapter 2 verse 11, everybody should be treated exactly the same according to the same standard. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. And our founding fathers believed exactly the same things. The same God who gave us life gave us liberty. We hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, duh, all men were created equal. and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, words that absolutely change the world forever. And notice, rights come from God, not from government. But because before any government ever existed at all, human beings in their natural state before God had rights. And they're unalienable because what government doesn't giveth, government can't taketh away. See the joke here? The founding fathers, just to be clear, none of this matters if there's a virus. No. Governor J.B. Pritzker can temporarily suspend our God-given constitutional rights during times of a real emergency, but then we want them right back ASAP. Do we understand what freedom is really all about? Now, our founding fathers enshrined those freedoms in our founding documents. The Declaration of Independence explains why we are free. Then the United States Constitution explains how that freedom is supposed to operate. So governments, to secure those rights, in other words, so we can exercise those rights in peace, governments are instituted among men. So the number one job of government is not to provide rights. The number one job of government is to protect the rights people already have from God. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. It is not government's job to take care of you. It is government's job to protect your rights and then get the heck out of your way. Man, why don't they teach that in school today? Well, you know why. And because our founding fathers knew that we human beings were sinners, we also needed laws to keep us from taking other people's freedoms away. So when they set up our government, whereby Americans can govern themselves through elected representatives, they made sure that no one representative had too much power by dividing government power among three different branches with a system of checks and balances. So that everybody from the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker, all the way up to the President of the United States, are all equal before the law. So it's government's job to enforce equality before the law. Not gender equality, social equality, or financial equality. Equality before the law. Because that's what equality in America means. Now, Hannah Nicole Jones of the 1619 Project claims there is no equality in America because America was founded on slavery, 1619, when the first slaves were brought into the country. And she says the U.S. Constitution was purposely designed to institutionalize racism. But people, it's not true. Because not one time anywhere in the U.S. Constitution is skin color ever mentioned at all. And why? Not to exclude anybody, but instead to include everybody of all skin colors, because freedom is for all people. So regardless of what she says, America was not founded in 1619. America was founded in 1776. Because America was not founded on slavery. America was founded on freedom. And that's what made America the greatest, freest, richest, most powerful nation in the history of the whole wide world. Now, is our form of government perfect? Absolutely not. And our founding fathers from the very beginning knew it never would be. That's why Americans treated too many Indian tribes like dirt. That's why women didn't get to vote until 1920. That's why FDR put Japanese Americans in internment camps during World War II. Lots of big bumps along the road. But our founding fathers gave us that promise of freedom. All men are created equal, knowing it would take generations and centuries for that freedom to be totally worked out for all people. President Abraham Lincoln said this: "The founders meant to set up a standard for a totally free society, constantly looked to, constantly labored for, even though never perfectly attained, constantly approximated, and thereby constantly spreading and deepening its influence, and more adding to the value and happiness to people of all colors everywhere." Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina said this last week at the Republican National Convention: "America is always striving to be better, and we are always making progress toward that promise of freedom for all Americans." Amen. Our founding fathers knew that freedom in America was always going to be a work in progress. And that's why they purposely designed the U.S. Constitution with a process to change it and tweak it whenever it was necessary. For the sake of freedom. And I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now thinking, Kevin, how in the world can you talk about freedom in America when there was slavery in America for so long? Yeah, and there's absolutely no excuse for it. But there are some things you need to realize. Our founding fathers did not start slavery in America. It was imposed on the American colonies by Great Britain. And many of our founding fathers were dead set against it from the very beginning. Even Thomas Jefferson included an anti-slavery clause in the original wording of the Declaration of Independence. And you know why it wasn't adopted? Because if the founding fathers had pushed to outlaw slavery from the very beginning, the southern colonies would have never voted to break away from England. And abolition would have been meaningless without independence. Our founding fathers purposely never mentioned slavery anywhere in the Constitution, so nobody would assume that it was the law of the land. And again, 1787, if they had pushed for abolition, the southern colonies would have formed their own nation, and slavery would have spread even wider and lasted even longer than it did. And it's not because our founding fathers valued the Union more than they valued black lives. They believed that the Union, based on that promise of freedom in the Declaration of Independence, was the best way to eventually eliminate slavery in America. And they were right. President Lincoln said this, "The founders understood the hypocrisy of declaring all men are equal in a time of slavery. They understood they were not freeing black slaves at the moment the Declaration was written. They meant simply to declare the right to freedom so that the enforcement of it might follow as fast as circumstances should permit." And all kinds of founding fathers did all kinds of things to try to stop slavery. George Washington and Thomas Jefferson even freed their slaves. Benjamin Franklin and John Jay started anti-slavery societies even before the Revolutionary War. All the northern states abolished slavery by 1804. The United States Constitution banned the importation of any more slaves into America after 1808. Congress tried all kinds of compromises with the southern states to stop the spread of slavery. The Missouri Compromise, the Compromise of 1850, the Kansas-Nebraska Act, the Three-Fifths Compromise. I could go on and on. But the election of Abraham Lincoln as president caused the South to secede from the Union. And the Civil War was the bloodiest war in our nation's history that killed over 600,000 American soldiers. But that war also put an end to slavery in America forever. And even though that war divided our nation for a while, it proved Americans are willing to do anything to give freedom to black people, no matter what it costs. Now, was there some wicked things going on even after the Civil War that stopped black people from enjoying their freedom? Yeah, everything from the KKK to segregation to Jim Crow laws and everything in between. But Congress passed the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment to deal with that. Then in 1965, they passed the Civil Rights Act that gave black people just exactly the same freedoms and rights as everybody else. So even though our founding fathers knew freedom in America would never be perfect, with that promise of freedom in the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, they knew they were putting slavery and all of its effects on the road to extinction. And all because they specifically designed the Constitution so that they could use it to outlaw slavery when the time was eventually right to do it. Slavery is an absolutely inexcusable evil in American history. And there is not one Yankee Doodle Dandy among us that believes America is perfect. And our founding fathers didn't believe that either. That's why in the preamble to the Constitution, it does not say, "We the people, in order to form a perfect union." Instead, it says, "We the people, in order to form a more perfect union." Because even though America is never going to be perfect, our history proves we are a country that slowly but surely makes good on that promise of liberty and freedom and justice for all. The first thing we need to do in order to keep America the land of the free, we need to understand what freedom is really all about. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to keep America the land of the free. We not only need to understand what freedom is all about, we also need to realize freedom is under attack. Because there is another agenda at work in America right now. Liberalism, progressivism, Marxism, socialism, it's all the same thing. And it's totally opposite of what God wants for this country, because progressivism doesn't give a rip about God at all. President Barack Obama, who is the poster boy for progressivism, said this in 2012. Government is the only thing that all of us really belong to. Wow. In other words, government is God. So freedom is not doing what God wants you to do. Freedom is doing what government wants you to do or allows you to do. And progressives honestly, truly, really do believe that if they silence Christianity and redefine the family out of existence and confiscate your guns and redistribute the wealth and control the media and education, they can save you and change you so that you'll be tolerant and open-minded and use biodegradable straws to save the planet. Have you accepted government as your personal Lord and Savior? They're attacking freedom by changing the meaning of what equality is. Because equality before the law, that just gets in the way of restorative justice. So progressives say equality means people are absolutely equal in everything. Opportunities, education, health care, income, everything. And any disparity at all is just more proof that America is racist, bigoted, greedy, homophobic, transphobic, blah, blah, blah. But that's not true. This guy here is handsome. He hit the genetic lottery. Every guy in his family looks like they just walked out of GQ magazine. Now me, I'm ugly. Because my family came from the shallow end of the gene pool. I look like I fell through the ugly tree and hit every branch on the way down. But that is not because of some social injustice or because of some unfair system. That's just life. And all the big government in the whole wide world is never going to be able to equalize all the differences between people. Government can't make people equal because people are already equal. Equal before God and equal before the law. Amen. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi said this, "Our number one responsibility is to fix income inequality." Well, how in the world are we going to do that? Jeffrey Bezos makes $104 million a year running Amazon, while the average janitor at Amazon makes $34,000 a year. Different pay because there's different ability. But the progressives say, no problem. We'll just take away some from this one and give it to that one. And if that sounds like socialism, that's because that's exactly what it is. Karl Marx said this, "To correct any defect, some rights have to become unequal and be canceled, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need." So they're taking away your rights so they can give special rights to other people. Special rights that our founding fathers would have gagged on, like income equality. The Chicago Teachers Union now wants all policemen out of Chicago public schools because they say children have a right to feel safe. Now that's good, but is that really a right? Syracuse University put Professor John Zubieta on leave this past week because he referred to COVID-19 as the Wuhan flu. And the school said the Chinese students in his class had a right to not be offended. But folks, that's crazy because the Wuhan flu did come from Wuhan, China. And there's absolutely nothing in the U.S. Constitution about a right to not be offended. Grow up for crying out loud. New York City is now fining people for not referring to transgendered persons by their preferred transgender pronoun. And people, that's crazy. But see, their feelings are more important than your rights. And because according to progressivism, all rights come from government. Government can take them and give them like a hall pass at school. So right now, people who have never owned slaves are supposed to pay reparations to people who have never been slaves. If you cheat to get into college, you go to jail. But if you cheat to get into America, you go to college for free. Right now, the mobs in Portland and Seattle are marching through the suburbs in those cities, going up to people's homes and demanding that people turn over their houses and their house keys to them, to take ownership of them. Welcome to the new America, where you exercising your rights is taking away special rights from somebody else and getting in the way of the common good. And who is it that determines what the common good is? Well, the beautiful ruling class people, all the unelected experts and czars and the Dr. Faucis of the world. Remember what Oprah said about Barack Obama? Barack is a special kind of light bearer who can actually help us evolve as a species. So much for equality before the law. Freedom is being attacked because progressives are trying to destroy the entire system of government that we have. Black Lives Matter says America is helplessly and hopelessly lost, warp and woof, stem to stern. But just because there are some racist people in America, that doesn't mean America itself is racist. Or that you're a victim of some systemically racist evil system. Folks, if America is really systemically racist, how in the world did this country ever elect a black man to be president? Twice. With over 80 million of those votes coming from white people. If America really is systemically racist, how in the world did Tim Scott ever become senator from South Carolina? 2 years before that state stopped flying the Confederate flag. If America's really systemically racist, how can LeBron James, who barely made it out of high school, be worth over $1 billion playing a game throwing a rubber ball through a metal hoop? Black people in America are the freest, richest black people in the entire world. Don't tell me that America is systemically racist. But see, it's not about racism. It's about Marxism. It's not about destroying racism. It's about using racism as an excuse to destroy America. The sign that's out there today says this: the system is not broken, it was just built that way. So that phrase, all men are created equal, is just a lie. America is rotten to the core, and the only goal is what Saul Alinsky said: burn the entire system to the ground. And what do you replace it with? Well, socialism, of course. Even though socialism has never worked anywhere it's ever been tried, anywhere in the world, throughout the history of the world. And because socialism takes money away from the people who work for it and gives it to the people who don't, socialism has to be forced on people. And that's why socialism has murdered almost 200 million people since 1917. But people think, hey, sounds like a great idea. Let's try that. Are we crazy? Cuban-American Maximo Alvarez escaped socialism in Cuba as a boy, came to America, started one of the largest gas companies in Florida. The guy fulfilled the American dream. And last Monday night, he spoke at the Republican National Convention begging us Americans not to swallow the lies of socialism. Here's just a little bit of what he said.
It's before. I've seen movements like this before. I've seen ideas like this before. And I am here to tell you, we cannot let them take over our country. I heard the promises of Fidel Castro, and I can never forget all those who grew up around me, who looked like me, who suffered and starved and died because they believed those empty promises. They swallow the communist poison pill. If you have a chance, go to the Freedom Tower in Miami. Stop and listen. You can still hear the sounds of those broken promises. It is the sound of waves in the ocean carrying fire.
That is the God's honest truth about socialism. And we ignore it to our peril. And sadly enough, we've already gotten a taste of socialism with a lot of our progressive leaders today. The self-appointed Illuminati, who have absolutely nothing but contempt for us because they call us the deplorables and the virus deniers and the smelly Walmart people and the bitter clingers who cling to our guns and religion out of fear, who make all kinds of laws that they have no intention of following themselves. Last April, Michelle Obama told all of us Americans to stay home because of COVID-19 while her husband was golfing at a posh private country club in Virginia. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio closed all the health clubs in New York City but still went to a gym to work out himself. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a stay-at-home order for all Illinois residents last April and May while his wife traveled to their horse farm in Florida and he made trips back and forth to their mansion in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot closed all the salons and barbershops in Chicago but still got a haircut from a stylist herself. And during the riots 2 weeks ago, she used police security to not only guard her home but to cordon off her entire city block because she said she had a right to defend her home, something that she doesn't let anybody else in Chicago do because major parts of the city now look like a war zone. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued a stay-at-home order for all Michigan residents last Easter weekend while her husband snuck up to their vacation cabin in the UP and tried to use his pull to get their boat out on the water. I could go on and on. See, the rules apply to us, but they don't apply to them. And they say President Donald Trump thinks he's above the law. And they make all kinds of policies that are absolutely devastating because they're taking away people's rights and their safety and their jobs and income and businesses and livelihood and destroying their homes and their schools and their churches. And we will be dealing with the economic fallout from those policies for years to come. But see, the ruling class, it won't affect them at all because they live in gated communities and have private security and private tutors for their kids. And because they have more money than Davy Crockett, the economic meltdown is not going to hurt them one bit. They have policies that we suffer from that they don't suffer from themselves. But folks, we got to remember, that's what socialism is. It's a big pyramid scheme. The people at the top get the gravy. Every one of us gets the slop. And government is never, ever, ever held accountable for the horrible things that they do. There is no such thing as a perfect form of government, but the one we have, a constitutional republic, is perfect for us, where representatives are held accountable by the people that they represent, and they derive their powers from the consent of the governed. That is what is under attack in America right now. The very foundation of what we are as a nation. That is why freedom is at stake. The second thing we need to do to keep America the land of the free, we need to understand that freedom is under attack. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to keep America the land of the free. We not only need to understand what freedom is all about, we not only need to realize that freedom is under attack, but third, we just need to stand up and defend the freedom that we have. Because that is the job of every generation of Americans. Every single generation has the responsibility to protect and defend freedom and then to pass it on to the next generation, no matter what. And I realize there's Christians who don't believe that. Christian author Mindy Bells writes this: "It's disgraceful that so many evangelical Christians during this pandemic are demanding the return of their constitutional rights. They need to forget about their precious rights and focus on sharing compassion to those who are suffering from COVID-19. No! Because why can't we exercise our rights and show compassion at the same time? Because those rights came from God and were bought by the blood of over 1.1 million American soldiers who died for them. And COVID-19 doesn't change that at all. Thomas Jefferson said the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. So even during a pandemic, we have got to defend our freedom. And listen to me. We better hurry. Because America is being destroyed right in front of our very eyes, on purpose. Because Minneapolis, Chicago, Los Angeles, Portland, Seattle, the places that have seen the worst of the rioting, you know what all those cities have in common? They're all run by progressive Democrat mayors who just stand by and let the mobs burn those cities to the ground. While their willing accomplices in the media try to legitimize it by saying, they're mostly peaceful protests. Because they have a constitutional right to do that. No. The First Amendment says they have a constitutional right to peaceful assembly. So when the burning and the looting and the shooting starts, it's no longer a protest. That's called a riot. And we all know what's behind it. In Portland, Oregon, thugs have tried for 96 straight days now to destroy a federal courthouse there, even using liquid cement to try to glue the doors and windows shut, to trap federal employees inside and burn them alive. But it's a mostly peaceful protest. And the question is, how can people afford to riot for 96 straight days? Because they're obviously not working. Well, of course, somebody's bankrolling them. Somebody is funding them and paying their rent and their housing and their food. They're paid agitators. Presidential candidate Joe Biden slobbers all over Black Lives Matter. And his vice presidential pick, Kamala Harris, is even raising money right now to bail rioters out of jail when they get arrested. And when a Democratic operative with the Biden campaign was asked how long the riots were going to last, his name was Adam Schultz, you know what he said? Till November the 3rd. In other words, till right after the election is over with. So it's all about using the tragic death of black people to stir up enough chaos and controversy to get Donald Trump out of the White House. And people, it is absolutely despicable. They say black lives matter. You tell me how much black lives really matter to those people. And Kenosha, Wisconsin, exactly the same thing. Like Groundhog Day over and over again. Where police tried to arrest 29-year-old Jacob Blake on a domestic disturbance. Had a rap sheet as long as your arm, open warrant for domestic violence. And even though the cops tased him twice and with guns drawn told him to stop five different times, he pulled away, reached into his vehicle for a knife, and got shot. And God help us, what a horrible thing. Absolutely horrible thing. Especially for his three kids sitting in the back seat of that vehicle. Can you imagine what they're going through? But again, all hell breaks loose and the exact same narrative. Innocent black person, victim of racist cops in a racist system. No. But you know what is true? Another progressive mayor refusing to let enough National Guard stop all the chaos. And all for the sake of politics. And it stinks to high heaven. We have got to defend our freedom. You better defend your freedom because they are coming for your rights. In all kinds of ways. Last July the 20th, Ken DeWillio was fired from his job as a football coach, Cleveland High School in Portland, Oregon. You know why they canned him? Because Ken DeWillio is also a 23-year veteran Portland police officer, and the school told him, him being a cop made him too controversial to coach football. They are coming for your rights. Last July the 28th, an immigrant store owner named Jahan Turan from Hoboken, New Jersey, was walking around New York City with a MAGA hat on when all of a sudden four guys jumped him, yelled F Trump, and beat him so bad they broke his nose, fractured his eye sockets, and busted out three teeth. So much for freedom of expression. They are coming for your rights. They do it by threats. Last July the 9th, Robert Onaway, the CEO of Goya Foods, was at the White House giving a speech announcing his company was donating 1 million cans of chickpeas to America's food banks. But then he committed the unpardonable sin of saying that Donald Trump was a great president. Because the Twitterati absolutely exploded. And everybody from AOC to Chrissy Teigen started boycotting Goya. Folks, Trump derangement syndrome is real. You say one thing positive about that man, and there is hell to pay. And the left will do absolutely anything they can to destroy you, your family, and boycott your business and your livelihood into oblivion. They are coming for your rights. So for the love of God, we have got to stand up and defend the freedom that we have. Like he did. January 2019, 16-year-old Nick Sandman from Covington Catholic High School in Covington, Kentucky, was in Washington, D.C. with his school group at the March for Life. And right before they got ready to leave, a bunch of racist black Hebrew nationalists started ragging on him for being white and wearing a MAGA hat. Then for some reason, a Native American named Nathan Phillips, who was in Washington, D.C. for the Indigenous People's March that day, got in his face and started beating a drum. So to try to defuse the whole situation, Nick Sandman just stood there and said and did nothing. Just stood there smiling at the guy. But when the picture of that got out, the media absolutely barbecued that kid. Because without knowing any facts at all, they simply reported snotty, and privileged, entitled white kid disrespecting Native American. MAGA hat, Trump's a racist, Nick Sandman's a racist too. And they reported that all over the world. And they slammed the Christian school that he went to, and the school believed the narrative and kicked him out for misconduct. And he got so many death threats, his family had to move out of their house. That kid's life was totally ruined. But see, Nick Sandman didn't just sit back and take it. He stood up and defended himself when he fought for his freedom by filing an $800 million lawsuit against six different news outlets, suing them for defamation of character. Because other videos proved he really didn't do anything that day. Just exactly like he said all along. Well, last January the 7th, he won a $275 million settlement against CNN. Then last July the 24th, he won a $250 million settlement against the Washington Post. And he's not using a penny of that money for himself. He's just doing it to send a message. Last Tuesday night, Nick Sandman was invited to speak at the Republican National Convention. And he said this: "How could I possibly imagine that simply putting on a MAGA hat would unleash so much hate from the left and make me such a media target? But I would not be canceled, despite the full war machine of the mainstream media. And they went into attack mode without ever getting any facts at all. And you know why? Because the truth didn't matter. Advancing their anti-Christian, anti-conservative, anti-Donald Trump narrative was all that mattered. And if doing that ruined the reputation and future of a teenager from Covington, Kentucky, well, so be it. But I would not be canceled. I fought back hard to expose the media for what they did to me and what they do to way too many other conservatives like me, and I won a victory. We settled with two so far, so you other four, we're coming for you next." Nick Sandman refused to be canceled, and he refused to let his freedom be canceled too. And you know why he defended his freedom? Because America and the promise of freedom and the flag that represents that freedom are worth defending. Just ask him. 1965, Rick Monday was the National College Baseball Player of the Year and the number one pick in the very first Major League Draft. Then he served 6 years in the United States Marine Corps, where he really learned to love America and freedom and the flag that symbolizes it. Then he got out, played 19 seasons of Major League Baseball. Well, April 25th, 1976, he was at Dodger Stadium in Los Angeles playing center field for the Chicago Cubs against the Dodgers, bottom of the fourth inning, when all of a sudden he saw two fans who had come out of the stands kneeling in the grass in left center with an American flag, some lighter fluid, and some matches. And all of a sudden he realized they're trying to torch the American flag. And he didn't know if they had a gun or a knife, because baseball stadiums didn't have anywhere near the security they have today. So without even thinking, this is what he did.
Flag, and Rick Monday runs and takes it away from him. And so Monday, I think a guy was going to set fire to the American flag. Can you imagine that? Well, they better lose him in a hurry. And Monday, when he realized what he was going to do, raced over and took the flag away from him.
Rick Monday did his own Patriot Act and saved that flag. And instantly, he became a national hero. He got letters from people all over the country, invitations to speak from all over Kingdom Come. He got plaques from every team the Cubs played on the road that year. Later on in that season, when the Dodgers played at Wrigley Field, Dodgers president Al Campanis personally presented that flag to Rick Monday in a special ceremony. And even though over the years he's been offered over $1 million for it, he's never sold it and still keeps it at a safe in his home in Vero Beach, Florida. Well, the Cubs traded Rick Monday to the Dodgers the next season, where he helped them win a World Series in 1981. And he had a great career, then went on to be a 19-year broadcaster for the Dodgers. But Rick Monday's flag play brought him more recognition than anything Rick Monday ever did associated with baseball. The greatest play Rick Monday ever made. Greatest play in baseball history. And why did he do it? This is what he said: "I was mad when I saw them trying to do something to the flag, because that flag represents a lot of rights and freedoms that we all have. And what they did desecrates all the effort and the sacrifice that was made to pay for all those rights and freedoms." And sadly enough, my, how things have changed. Did you hear Vin Scully on that replay say, "Why, I think he's trying to burn the flag"? Can you imagine? Because back in 1976, hardly anybody could imagine doing that. And even when Colin Kaepernick started disrespecting the flag back in September of 2016 by taking a knee during the national anthem, 72% of other NFL football players and 98% of all NFL fans thought that was an absolute disgrace and unpatriotic. But today, professional athletes in every sport you can think of are disrespecting the flag and the freedom that it represents like nobody's business. Here's what Rick Monday said about Colin Kaepernick. "I know there's free speech and he's free to do whatever he wants, but it's wrong and I don't respect it because it dishonors the flag and all the people who served our country to protect the flag and all that it stands for. They drape caskets of dead soldiers with that flag and it's the greatest honor they can have. So anybody who knows what that flag really represents, taking a knee is nothing but treason." Amen. See, once was a time it was an honor to stand for the flag. Today, it's an honor to take a knee. Back then, it was an honor to defend the flag. Today, it's an honor to trash it. Back then, you were considered un-American if you disrespected the flag. Today, you're considered un-American if you show it any kind of respect at all. Back then, if you slammed the flag, you lost your career. Today, you slam the flag, you get a $100 million contract from Nike. Listen to me. There is no future for a nation that considers standing for the national anthem something evil and taking a knee something heroic. So what do? America has never been perfect and never will be. But what America stands for and what the flag stands for and the principles are perfect and always will be, because freedom itself is timeless. But every generation of Americans has got to fight for it and stand up and protect it and defend it, or that freedom is going to be destroyed. Rick Monday is a hero because he did that in his generation. The only question is, who's going to be a hero now and do it in this generation? Where are all the heroes today who are going to stand up for what America stands for? So the question is, every single one of us, what are we willing to do to keep America the land of the free? Because we got to do something. Because right now, we are in a battle up to our eyeballs for America and what kind of America we are going to have from here on out. Because this election is not between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. This election is between two diametrically opposed visions for what this country is going to be in the future. One from God, the other one from the devil. And one of them is going to win and determine the future of America until Jesus comes back. And the choice could not be any more clear. It's either freedom or slavery. It's either liberty or tyranny. It's either law and order or chaos and mob rule. It's either life and death for America as it was founded and as God intended it to be. And the other side has already demonstrated they are willing to do anything to win. So the question is, what are we willing to do? President Ronald Reagan said this: "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States when people were free." Right here, right now, what are we willing to do? What is God calling us to do to keep America the land of the free? And let's pray. Lord, You know better than anybody that our nation is being ripped up right now. And Lord, there are so many tragic stories. Lord, so many tragic deaths of black people in this country. So many tragic deaths of white people, people being injured and killed in riots and protests and demonstrations. Lord, this nation has never been perfect. Not one of us would claim that. And Lord, more than anything else, we need you to heal this country. Lord, we need you to pour out your grace and your mercy for all the mistakes, all the sins that have been committed, all the inexcusable things in the history of our nation, but also all the inexcusable things that are being done today. Lord, this nation cannot survive without freedom, without the founding principles that come directly from you and come directly from your word. And I just ask, Lord, for revival. I pray you change our hearts, change the hearts of this nation so that it truly is fixed on you, that we truly would be the land of the free. Lord, all by your power, all by your grace, we ask it all in your name. Amen.